And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome back once again, as we near the end of 2018, Nate Wallace, City Manager for the City of Palmer. Welcome.
Morning.
I thought it might be helpful, since last week we had the mayor in, and she did a wonderful job, and I'm sure you're going to be just as wonderful. But
she sets the bar pretty high.
Well, sure, she does. She's good. She's got a lot of experience at this. Is helping people understand the difference here in the city of Palmer between the role of the manager and the mayor. Because as some people know, if you're talking about the borough mayor and the borough manager, if you're talking about the Wasilla mayor and whoever it is that works over there, or if you're talking about Houston mayor and so on, even though we use the term mayor for each one of those, they're all different in terms of what they can do by the guidelines that are set by the charters and the rest that are there. So here in the city of Palmer, what do you do?
Government 101?
Yeah. That would be helpful.
Well, the state, when the Constitution was set up, one of the pieces there was to allow local governments to govern with as much authority as they could handle. So there's really two forms of local government in Alaska. One is the mayor council form, and the other is a manager council form. So every city has a council, basically, that sets policy. But the person designated to carry out that policy, the operational day-to-day business, varies from place to place. So Palmer, when it set up its charter, set up a manager council form of government. So again, the council forms policy, approves laws or code. At the city level, it's code. And then we have a manager, which today is me, to carry out those policies, to put them into effect. The borough is a mayor. There was also a manager assembly form of government. And Wasilla is different from the two in that it's a mayor council. So the mayor actually in Wasilla runs the day-to-day activities, but also participates in the formation of policy. I believe in Wasilla, the mayor doesn't actually vote on policy. He's a tiebreaker. And at the borough level, it's the same way. He doesn't vote, but he has the veto power. So there's different forms of authority that mayors have. Sometimes you'll hear the term strong mayor, strong manager. Well, I would say that we've had very strong mayors in Palmer over the last 65 years. But their authority as a mayor is different than the authority in other places. So that's kind of in a nutshell how our government's set up. The mayor is part of the council, and they make laws or establish code, and then they hire somebody through contract to carry out how those are enforced.
And just to provide the kind of practical distinction, Mayor over in Wasilla is full-time. He has essentially a full-time job. He's paid as a full-time person. And the mayor in Palmer and the borough mayor are part-time.
Correct.
And maybe that...
Well, they're full-time mayors, but they're...
Full-time mayors, but part-time pay.
But what they aren't... Every minute of their day, much like mine, is not consumed with this, with the affairs of the government. So the mayor has a responsibility. As the mayor, she has other responsibilities as part of the council. To carry out, she's the mayor is the executive, has a lot of executive power. She signs proclamations, but is paid more so to for the public appearances that she's asked to do. So that's in our case. There's a lot of time that the mayor spends in the public and is compensated for that. Whereas in Wasilla, the Wasilla mayor does what I do, makes decisions every day on what goes on and how roads are plowed, how the sewer is supposed to work, and oversees the staff, whereas our mayor and the council oversee me, and then I oversee the staff.
Okay. So, for example, if there's something that pops up that's extraordinary, we recently had an earthquake and so on, we have in the city of Palmer all kinds of people who will respond in different ways. There's a police department, fire department, public works, and so on. And the city manager, as throughout the normal times, is going to be the person involved with doing that. But the mayor also has some kind of role as well. How does that work, or what would where would the mayor be drawn into an emergency situations like this?
Again, that's the public piece. By charter, the responsibility for making sure things are working falls on the manager, and the council. If there's an emergency that requires a policy decision or appropriation of funding, then we would have a special meeting, and the council would then decide how to act in that situation. But then again, I think the city expects the mayor to be the voice. Mm-hmm. And if the mayor's not there, then that would fall to the deputy mayor or a council member. And if short of that, then it would be me, of course.
Sure.
So in that situation, the mayor would be determined on how the mayor would decide to make statements and things like that. But
okay.
Again, to that last one, the acting manager kept the council informed and the mayor informed on city activities. And again, we don't have the local news station to put a camera in front of your face and
we put five minutes
from something happens,
there.
Or
right.
and then again the radio station here, but the mayor was available to make comment, and we were contacted by the press, but a lot of things there were more serious things going on at that time than putting the Palmer manager or Palmer mayor on the TV screen to say things were all right. But
okay. Well, yeah, I wasn't so much focused on, it was not so much heading toward how do you work with a manager, mayor split here, but just the general idea of how things work, because I think for many people there's a bit of mystery about this, knowing that the council, the mayor and the council really don't have any direct authority over people who work in the city. They certainly can ask questions and so on, but for the most part, that all goes through the manager.
Yes, and that's set up by code, by our charter, mm-hmm. And that's to take the politics out of how the city is run. So it's administered in a transparent and in an organized and efficient manner. If you have seven council members, six and a mayor, if all seven of those could give direction to all our employees, we would potentially get nothing done.
That's helpful. Is there a room somewhere in City Hall with a rogue scout?
A secret room somewhere?
What I was thinking of is whether in many places there may be a historical collection of photos of previous mayors, for example. But I haven't seen the same collection of managers.
No, there's not. There's the city hall has, and the council chambers has the mayors. We don't even actually have council members, which might be something. Somebody did a study once and put together all the names of all the managers and all the mayors and all the council members and when they served. But it was never taken to the point where let's put all their pictures up. But the managers, this is my personal opinion, that's why you don't see a lot of managers in the news, except when they get fired, is because the public face, the elected officials, are the ones that the members of our community, elect our council and our mayor. And then they, in turn, hire me. So I'm not the one that's – I'm the one that's supposed to make things work. But when it comes to, here I am speaking to the public,
right?
But and that's part of my duties to make sure the public's informed. But the public really turns to the mayor and council because they're the ones that set the policy, and policy on how we handle emergencies is set many years in the past. And when the emergency happens, we have a set of guidelines we follow, and I'm doing that as opposed to talking in front of a TV camera.
Sure. And in terms of the official duties of the mayor, all kinds of proclamations are signed by the mayor because yes. they're kind of official documents. You get to sign important documents, though.
I sign the checks. I sign the contracts.
Right, right. And so you're the one on the hook for all of that. But
yes. Yeah,
fun stuff. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Nate Wallace, for a city manager of the city of Palmer, for clarifying a bit the differences and responsibilities of the city manager and the mayor. So we're coming to the end of 2018. A few more days and it's all over. I mean, and of course, 2019 starts and you have a new budget. I was curious. I woke up one night here and I said, oh, but what happens then? The old budget, does it go away? Is it put in a drawer somewhere? What happens? Because as we know, whenever you develop a budget, it's a plan. And there's money that sits there to be expended. Rare is it that you reach the end of a budget time, all the money has been spent, and now you have a new pile of money for 2019. How does that transition? What happens? What happens to the 2018 fund balances, and as you start 2019?
Well, it's really no different than if you have a budget of your own and you have a checkbook and a savings account, and maybe a Christmas fund and things like that. So the city has several funds. We have a general fund where most of our revenue, sales tax and property tax, goes into that fund. And that's what we operate off of. So we have a budget that says this is how much we're going to spend for a particular year. And at the end of the year, it's more like January, February, March. we start closing the books out in January and finalize the books in February. And then there's an audit, an independent audit that's done to make sure that, you know, we spent what we said we spent. The authorizations were in place. I only have the authority to spend $15,000 without approval from the council. So they'll go through to make sure there's nothing that I spent that I wasn't supposed to, and then the council approved the expenditures that were made. And then they determine what our final balance looks like for 2018, how much we spent, and then how much was gained in revenues. And anything that was not spent goes into the general fund. So that's kind of like our savings account.
Okay.
So, again, it's not the money doesn't just go away. It goes back into the reserve, and then it's either reallocated or sits there. And we haven't had a year where we've overspent that I'm aware of, where we've had to dip into the reserve at the end of the year. Typically, for the last 5 to 7 years, maybe even longer, we've actually built up our reserve. If you go back about 10 years, our reserve was about $500,000, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And by the way that we've operated, the council has allocated funding and set aside funding and not dipped in the reserve. We project to have by the end of 2019, $3.1 million. We projected to have, and because we dipped into our reserve in 2019, looking ahead, we took almost $900,000 out of our reserve to spend towards capital projects, not to operate the city, but for construction, for equipment, new heavy equipment, things like that. So
a general statement is that the reserves are available. And I know that's true of the school district, assembly, and so on, that there be a buffer amount that comes up when something unexpected happens, and that money would be available. And you've mentioned the general fund. That seems an obscure term in some ways. It's like it's the place where money goes.
The general fund is generally where our revenues go into. So the other funds that we have the airport fund, which all the revenues generated at the airport through leases and sales tax and things that are done on the airport grounds by some of our FAA grant assurances. All the funds generated on the airport must go back to the airport to help it operate. So there's an airport fund. Our golf course is set up in a similar fashion. All the revenue generated by the golf course goes back into the golf course. Our water sewer is a separate fund. So all the funds generated through utility fees, any grants we receive for water improvements go into that fund. And then our solid waste is another one. So any solid waste fees that are collected go back towards funding those enterprises. So they're called enterprise funds. And then the general fund, again, is a general. It's everything else. Anything else that comes in, money that comes into the city, whether it's from the state through community assistance or if it's from the federal government for road projects, things like that. We don't have a separate road fund, so it's part of the general fund. So it's a general fund, generally for everything else that's not called out. And taxes, when they're collected, can't be collected for a specific thing. So there's other fees that can be collected and designated, right. but taxes have to.
And I note that as toward the end of the budget process, you look at the fees that are being charged for mm-hmm. a variety of things in the city and adjust them a little bit now and then.
Yes, we've looked at fees and fines as not so much a way to generate revenue. Fees more so because it's paying for a service. But when we look at fines are to be a deterrent to not doing certain things.
Oh, okay.
I know at one point in time, Anchorage was accused of using their police force to raise money for other things through their citations and tickets and things like that. But that's not the philosophy we have here. So, I don't think that was the case in Anchorage. It was just how that was portrayed.
When we talk about fines, sometimes people are thinking of police fines, tickets
yes.
that are written.
Citations.
Okay. Citations, so on. But they could also be some, I guess there are other fines. I'm not sure. Can you be fined if your dog is not properly
licensed or if you're late paying your utility bills, things.
Yes, that's right.
If you collect sales tax and you fail to turn it over to the city on time.
Okay. But that would seem to me to be a relatively small amount, percentage of the income money.
It is. When you look at the overall, how much do fees and fines contribute to the income? Other than the fees for utility services, I mean, those generate millions of dollars for the water sewer okay. system. Just under, I think, $200,000 for our solid waste for the garbage collection. But the other fees, when you talk about the depot is another one. We charge a fee for the depot, so that helps pay for the maintenance of the depot. But the other fees, like a business license, $25, that barely covers the admin time it takes to produce one. So,
Okay. Well, thank you for all that. Well, we've covered some of these basic fundamental topics. The more practical things are, I know that the weather has turned cold and snow has arrived, so that I see a line of heavy equipment ready to go in the spring. But pretty much am I right in thinking that work on the highway expansion is stopped?
It looks like it, yep. they went pretty late in the season. I think their intent was to work year round, but I'm not sure what that deep winter work looks like. So I haven't really seen anybody out there, but that could be the holiday break. But they've just taken off for December and just happens to be cold. But I know their intent was to do some work through the winter.
Actually, it's possible we may see some activities there.
Yeah, my guess is you won't see the digging that was done, but there may be some other tree clearing. I know there's a period in the spring where you can't cut down trees because of migrant birds and things like that. So I'm sure they'll try to get, if they haven't already done that, they'll do more of that before that season hits.
Okay. So are there any in the winter before spring comes and the snow goes away, it gets warm and people start digging around and doing things, are there any projects whatsoever that the city is involved with that are internal, for example, that many residents would not be aware of because they're inside?
No, not typically. The public safety building has undergone some subflooring work, and that's finishing up now. So that's a winter project that could be done. But just the overall construction for the city, our budget, we look towards doing that starting in the spring and trying to finish up by winter so that we aren't banging on pipes and heaters and during the winter and shutting those things down.
Right.
When folks are trying to use buildings. So, and then we're impacted just by the weather on outside. That's you know, we don't want to dig and then fill in and then have spring come in and we're dealing with a sinkhole of some sort.
Right, right. Well, that leaves, of course, the most significant thing sometimes, and that is the activities of the legislature down in Juneau. Has the city had its first meetings with the legislators to sort of talk about the relationship between the city and the legislature and funding for any particular projects, et cetera?
We do every year about this time, and the mayors and managers met with the Senate leaders, Senate representatives from the area, and then separately with the House representatives, just to, you know, congratulations on your continued service or your reelection, or I don't know if we have any new members this year. And then just, you know, here's the things we like to see. Don't take away our local control.
Right.
And that's something every year that we try to reinforce. You know, when you look at legislation, and if you don't look into the weeds to see what the second, third order effects are on these things, we will remind you, and please keep those things in mind. The pieces about getting money to the cities for capital, we've seen how that's worked the last 3 years. The capital budget for the state's gone down. They're going to have to wrestle again with some of the campaign promises that were made on how are they going to fund some of the things they've talked about doing, increasing public safety. That's going to have a price tag to it. So, again, we would like to have money for these projects, and we give them our list of 10 things that, for the city, it's the 10 things that are 10 priorities. And if you can fund these or help us match or help us pursue other funding, here's what we'd like to have you do for us. And then some other things that are on the horizon, online sales tax. In North Dakota, that was a big case where North Dakota pursued some of the online retailers to, you know, if you're going to sell in our state, we expect you to pay sales tax. So Alaska is looking at that. The cities have looked at it. So the legislature can help us, or they can hurt us. It's a source of revenue for everyone that wants to participate, but there's no state sales tax at this point. So
right.
I'm not sure how the state would get involved in that, other than set up state law that allows the cities and municipalities, boroughs that collect a sales tax to do that. So that's kind of on the horizon. That would be a nice source of revenue for the city. I mean, when UPS comes to deliver a package, they're using our roads. When the post office gets a surge in packages, and we've seen it on Cobb, I used to think the traffic there was for Fred Meyers. Well, the heavy truck traffic has not slowed. It's going to the post office.
Right.
And that's a heavily trafficked road. So the more packages that come in from outside the city, from outside sales, you know, somebody's got to help maintain the transportation routes that they use. So,
So last question. We, as we're recording this, know that the federal government has shut down. Has that had any impact, or what kind of impact would it have on the city?
No, not yet, and we don't really foresee that it will. Some of our federal funding is through grants. The biggest one we had for the last 2 years was the airport and the wastewater treatment plant, and both of those, one project is done, and the other one has been substantially completed, so we aren't reliant heavily on federal funding for that. I think, and that was USDA and FAA, and USDA has been affected. From my understanding, FAA is open, but it's for the safety side of things, not for the engineering project side. So both of those, potentially, when we come to close those projects out, if we're still shut down in June, we could see some impact. But the enforcement piece with DEA, we work with them. The court systems have shut down to some degree at the federal level. That doesn't necessarily affect us that greatly. It's most of our stuff is done at the state level. So at the Palmer level, not yet. But if this thing goes on for 6 months, we could see some impact, but not to the point where it's going to shut us down in any way or fashion.
Yeah, my side note was that I believe that Tsunami Warning Center is at skeleton levels so that they can report the fact that, yes, there was something that happened, but the detailed analysis of an earthquake is going to be not available.
Yeah, the post stuff. So anything life safety, they're going to be able to tell us, but they may not have the they just won't have the analysts that are on board to that provide data a week later that says
what does this mean? Yeah. Well, okay. Got it. Well, Nate Wallace, thank you for coming in today. Any last comments before we finish?
No, I think we've had a great year, and looking to 2019, it's looking to shape up to be just as good. So stay safe out there and enjoy the winter weather while we have it.
Okay, and we'll see you in 2019.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.